Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. Now, it may seem unpalatable to many, but my next guest says tax incentives for developers may be needed in order to help Ireland solve the housing crisis. He says the COVID-19 pandemic shows tax incentives worked for other business sectors, and a similar measure may be needed to help address housing, the rental shortage and homelessness. Dr. Brian Keegan is Director of Public Policy at Chartered Accountants Ireland, joins me now. Very good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for joining us on the programme. Now, you were writing about this in yesterday's Business Post newspaper, making the case for tax breaks to try particularly to deal with what seems to be emerging now, which is an issue in relation to the funding of projects, which may, according to some experts, threaten housing for all targets, the government's housing targets, maybe from 2024 out towards the end of this decade. What are you saying about the impact that some package of tax concessions could have?
What we're saying is that we need, Brian, to separate out the issues and make sure that whatever levers are available in terms of policy that are available to the state are used to deal with a crisis which is affecting everybody. I mean, we're in a ludicrous situation where, you know, a teacher can't afford to live in Dublin, as was reported in RTÉ only last week. And every sector of business, every family almost, is affected by a shortage in the provision of housing. Now, we know that tax reliefs on property have had a checkered history in this country. But having said that, when they were first introduced in the 1980s, they did solve very similar problems to the problems we have at the moment, where there's a shortage of decent supply. And at the height of the property experience, you know, in the early 2000s, we were completing about 80,000 units per annum. At the moment, we'll be doing well to complete about 25,000 units per annum. What are the choke points? The choke points, one of the big ones we know from speaking to our members in industry, is the availability of finance. And what we're suggesting is that the lessons that we learned from the pandemic could be applied to the current housing crisis. One of the things we did very effectively during the pandemic was we allowed businesses to defer their VAT and their PAYE liabilities, which fall due every month or every 2 months, until such time as the businesses could reopen and people got back in their feet. What we're suggesting for property development is we do something very similar, and we allow developers to postpone the payment of their VAT and PAYE until such time as a particular development is complete and sold and they actually have the money to hand.
And what would that mean for the developer in terms of getting a stalled project up and running?
What it would mean is that at the moment, the construction sector pays approximately 1 million in PAYE, 1 billion in PAYE every year. Now, what it would mean is that instead of having to account for maybe 20, 30% of the wage bill on a monthly basis, the developer could use that money towards the purchase of materials, towards the hiring of staff, and then settle up at the end of the construction project. We're not talking here about a tax giveaway, we're talking about a tax deferral. So what it would mean is that the developer would have to raise or would need to raise less money from traditional sources and effectively would be able to use tax deferrals to fund part of the development and get the job completed more quickly.
Would something like that on its own make a significant impact, or do you think it would need to be part of a suite of measures? Because there are other ideas, obviously, in relation to VAT and so forth, and local authority charges, for example. We were discussing that with the Institute of Chartered Surveyors in this programme last week. Do those kind of measures or concessions need to be looked at as well?
Well, I'm sure they do, but the crisis is so great that we need to use every possible policy lever available to us. And it seems to us that because of the toxic memory, if I could put it like that, of what happened with property reliefs in the 1990s and the early 2000s, that we're overlooking the possibility of reintroducing them again in a very focused and a very targeted way. What we did with property reliefs in the past was we gave benefit to the purchasers, and the purchasers got a tax break for buying property. What we're saying now is let's use the pandemic lesson to give a benefit to those who are actually doing the building work. And we think that this kind of deferral will particularly help the smaller developers.
But where's the guarantee that developers just don't pocket this benefit and not a whole lot changes?
Well, again, we can learn from the pandemic. The deferral of tax liabilities does not mean that the tax liabilities don't have to be reported and declared. And, you know, during the pandemic, well over 3 billion in tax was deferred under the warehousing schemes, there's every indication that the vast, vast majority of that is now in the course of being recovered, mm-hmm. and that there's somewhere in the order of maybe 100 million, which is a lot of money, admittedly. But, you know, relative to the 3.1 million, which was warehoused, there has not been a significant hit to the state. And again, Brian, I stress this is a deferral rather than a write-off.
But there is a cost involved in any of these measures, even a deferral, because it is tax deferred. You know, one wonders maybe whether the state might be better taking those funds, those resources, and putting them directly into projects in co-funding, along with developers, projects that developers can't raise sufficient funds to complete.
Yes, that is correct. And there are a number of co-funding arrangements out there in place. The difference between a co-funding arrangement and a tax break is that a change in the tax legislation is immediate and has immediate effect. And any industry that has run into difficulties, I mean, for example, the catering and accommodation industries spring to mind, the reduced rate of VAT was of immediate and direct benefit to those industries because it helped their cash flow. This is the same kind of principle, and a change in the tax rules has an immediacy which I think no other project can deliver on, mm-hmm. and certainly the crisis is an immediate one for so many of us.
It should be said you're not alone in coming forward with this kind of suggestion. Leo Varadkar, soon to be Taoiseach again, has talked about the Department of Finance needing, as he puts it, to be more open-minded on what could be done around tax. As a start, does the Department of Finance need to be costing some specific proposals in relation to a tax package?
Well, for the tax package of the nature that we're proposing, the costing is an opportunity cost in that they'll have to fund tax that they mightn't otherwise be collecting sooner. Now, in an era where we're running at approximately a 12 billion surplus, the Exchequer at the moment is awash with cash. And the interest cost to the Exchequer of a scheme such as this would be far lower than the immediate benefit. And again, bear in mind, it is a tax deferral. This money will come in. Say if the deferral started to happen immediately, over the course of a development, tax that might have been collected during 2023 won't be collected until 2024. And that's a prospect that the Exchequer could well afford at the moment.
Very good, Brian Keegan from Chartered Accountants Ireland. Thank you very much for that.